Hi, I'm an addict. My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
And I have to admit, I'm totally nervous. I'm shaking. My voice will shake. Hopefully, it won't last too long. This is really an honor for me because the 1993 CMP convention, Sharing from the Heart, was the first convention I ever attended. I had about 15 months clean, and I was fairly clueless about anything to do with Narcotics Anonymous. Since then, I come back to this convention whenever I can to be a part of it just because I love it so much. But that first convention was totally overwhelming to me. There were addicts everywhere. There was coffee. There was tea, which was fantastic. I'm a tea drinker. Meetings don't give us tea. That's okay. I'm getting used to it. There were, like I said, dances. There were bus rides to and from. There was, you know, things to buy, T-shirts, mugs, all of that. But then there were workshops. And it didn't make sense. A workshop to me was where something my grandfather used to help me make, water wheels, shadow boxes, something like that. But here I was at a convention for recovering addicts that had workshops. So my mind went to, so what was I supposed to make at an NA workshop? And in hindsight, the answer to that would probably be the start of a new me. Now, one of the discoveries, and there were many discoveries at that convention, one of those many discoveries was that some of the workshop topics were really interesting, like the history of NA, which is going on right now, and I'm really ticked off because I wanted to be there. But this, it is what it is, and that some of the topics weren't so interesting. And I have to admit, Step and Tradition workshops were on the I'm not interested list. But to show you how I have grown and that God does work in my life today, my home group, Came to Believe, uses a Step and Tradition format. When the desire to lifted to I'm sorry, when the desire to use was lifted in 1992, I knew I needed help. I just had no idea where to get it. I didn't know jack about detoxes, rehabs, treatment centers. And back then, an employer was more likely to fire you than to give you help if you had a problem with drugs. But after 4 days of not using, I went to my first meeting. It wasn't NA. It was CA. And after going there for a while, and on rare occasions to AA, I made it to my first NA meeting. And I felt like I was home. A weight was lifted, and the feeling was unbelievable. I finally found a place where I truly belonged, and I've been here ever since. Now, I'm an avid reader. I believe I can learn anything I want to know from a book. So I was totally thrilled when my first sponsor, Trish, gave me my now really terribly beat up fifth edition. So I took it home and I read it. Well, I read some of it. I read the basic text part of it. To this day, I haven't read the personal stories. I hear personal stories in every any meeting I go to, and I just haven't yet felt the need to read that section. And that's okay. So I read the basic text, and I'm excited because since I'm coming into the rooms, I've been hearing about these 12 things that were going to help me stop using drugs and get on with my life. And I was positive the answer was in that book. Now, at that time, my plan, and I've also learned, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. My plan was learn 12 things, get out of here, and get on with my life. Yeah, I was really naive. Since then, I've learned that the steps are in the order they are for a reason. I also learned I had to work every step to the best of my ability because they build on each other. And like anything, if there's not a strong foundation, sooner or later it's going to collapse. And that collapse for me meant the jails, institutions, and death that I had somehow avoided when I was using. Thank God. Now, step one, it was really easy. I was powerless over my addiction. and my life was beyond unmanageable. But step one was also very hard, because I had to admit it to a bunch of strangers who didn't know me and who I didn't know, meaning I didn't trust you people, and I didn't want to trust you with the innermost me. I got over it. When I was 13, I turned my back on organized religion, and I also equated spirituality with religion. So when I came into the rooms and I kept hearing the word God, and I kept hearing the word spirituality, I was ready to bolt, but God kept me in my chair. I'd been told that if I stayed in the Narcotics Anonymous Fellowship, I would find out what I wanted to know to become the person I wanted to be. So I stayed. I struggled through steps 2 and 3 with my sponsor because of the way I felt. And this is going to sound really corny, but when I was watching the movie The Santa Claus, there was a line in that movie that said, "Seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing." And it made so much sense. Something clicked, and steps 2 and 3 actually became easier. With my sponsor, I went through 4 and 5 and found a truer, more balanced me. I wasn't as decent as I thought I was, but I wasn't as horrible as I was sure I'd been. So I kept going, and I also learned the steps and traditions are simple. Our literature tells us this program's simple. I'm the one who makes it difficult. So when I got to step 6, I realized learning 12 things was going to take a lot longer than I thought it was going to. But I stuck around, and I was halfway through with my plan anyway, so, you know, why not? But at that time, I also found something I hadn't had in a really long time, and that was hope. Hope that my life really could be something other than what it had been for too many years. Step 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I had to write it down because I refused to memorize anything, because it comes rote. It becomes meaningless to me if I memorize it. So I can't quote anything without having it in front of me and reading it. But one thing I do have to say, I do think the word defect is offensive. I don't believe the God of my understanding made me defective. Machines might be defective. People aren't. My God made me exactly the way I am, with the good, the bad, and the in-between. I'm not perfect, but I'm not defective. I use the word because it's part of our literature. I still think it's offensive, but I use it. Okay, that said, the first time I did the 6-step, it took my sponsor and I about 20 minutes. She worked it the same way with me that her sponsor had worked it with her. We went through we prayed. We went through the previous 5 steps. We went through the list of character defects I had, or thought I had, or the ones I was willing to admit to, however you want to look at it. And since everything was in my face, she said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Hell yeah." She said, "Okay, you're done." And that was it. Now, I didn't question the simplicity of it because I was still learning. It was a learning process. But I found out later just how intense this step could be. Before the step working guides were published in 1988, the only thing that was out to working a step was for step 4. So I bought a copy, anticipating doing the 6-step again, because that was something else I learned. If I really wanted to grow in NA and truly become the acceptable, responsible person and a productive member of society that I wanted to be, I wasn't going to work the step once and be done with them. It's a lifelong process. For anyone who chooses this way of life, and continuously working the steps is a part of that process. Now, when it inevitably came time to do another 6-step, I was definitely more fearful. I was not looking forward to delving more deeply into all the things I didn't want anybody to know about. Because, you know, the first time was easy. Maybe it was too easy, but it was what it was. And anyway, hadn't I already done all this? You know, hadn't I already gone through this in my 4th and 5th step? Why'd I have to do it again? Why'd I have to keep putting it in my face? Well, the program's about change. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, all you have to change is everything. Didn't like hearing it, but, you know, I was willing to learn. I also learned this step was going to help me prepare to make the changes that I had to make in order to become the person I really want to be. It wasn't about listing my character defects, then beating myself down about them, because I'll tell you, I can beat myself down better than anyone. It wasn't trying to figure out where they came from in the first place. It didn't matter where they came from. They were there, and I was acting on them. I also didn't need to know why I so stubbornly held on to them, because they weren't doing me any good. They were keeping me from finding the freedom and the serenity that I wanted. Now, I'm not going to say I didn't get upset with myself or cry or complain or rant and rave, because I did. I didn't want to look at that stuff. You know, it's like, it's past. Let's forget it. But it wasn't the past. It was in the present, because I was still acting out on it. I had to understand and admit I couldn't remove these character defects by myself, no matter how hard I tried. And I tried. By myself. Does that tell you why it didn't work? I had to believe that God could, if I had the faith and the trust to believe it. Excuse me. So, through the previous steps, I knew the exact nature of my wrongs. I knew how I'd harmed myself and anyone else who had the misfortune to be in my life at the time. With my sponsor, I watched as patterns emerged, and I didn't like what I was seeing, and I especially didn't like the fact that I was still acting out on quite a bit of them. Now, I definitely wasn't the same person who walked in here in 1992. I didn't lie as much. I didn't cheat as much. I didn't steal as much. I wasn't as intolerant. I didn't procrastinate as much. Well, I still procrastinate, but I'm working on it. But it was these things I didn't want to look at that I had to look at, because I mean, we hear, you know, it's like every, you know, it dies, things die, the secrets die in the light. I just didn't want to uncover them because I wanted to keep believing I was better than I thought I was, you know, better than I felt I was, let's say. Now, I was talking to my daughter, my youngest daughter, about speaking here, and she was not quite 4 years old when I started using. So she was raised by a using mother. Luckily, she remembers more of the good times from then than her brothers and sisters, but that's okay. Now, she wanted to know what I was going to speak about. And she doesn't know a lot about the program, but I read her the gist of it because I've never spoken at a convention like this before. So I thought I had to write out this speech. So I'm sitting here, and I'm working on it, and I'm fine-tuning it. And I read it to her, and she listened, and she said, you know, Mom, I have no idea what this step six is about. I get the idea of what you're trying to say because I know you, but what I don't understand is why you're not saying anything about how you became entirely ready. But she got hung up on the entirely versus ready. To her, they were one and the same. Either you were ready or you weren't. And if you were, you were entirely. So she was confused, and she said, why aren't you telling them that? And she was right. So I had to think some more because I'm a storyteller. I like the details. But the details also take me off track. So I start talking, and I'm supposed to be talking about this, and next thing you know, I'm over here. And that's where I was at the time I was talking to my daughter. So she got me back on track. Now, until the day I stopped using, I don't think I've been entirely ready for anything in my life. So how did I become entirely ready? Well, the first thing I had to do was something my sponsor had told me. And that was to put as much effort into this and every step that I had put into my using. And that made perfect sense because I remembered the extremes I went to for the drugs. The getting, finding, using, you know, finding ways and means to get more. I think you understand what I'm talking about. It also meant I had to remember and relive a past I really wanted to forget. But it was staring me in the face with every word I'd written, so it was pretty hard to ignore it. After that, I had to pray for the strength and the courage to fear. That's the face everything and recover fear, not the other one. I had to look at what I didn't like about myself, but I had to look at some of the things I did like, because even some of the things I did like weren't good for my recovery, and they weren't helping me grow spiritually. And my grandmother used to tell me, if you worry, God thinks you don't trust him. You don't have faith in him. So I had to learn how to stop worrying, and that's hard for me because I'm really good at it. I mean, I was worrying myself to death ever since I got asked to speak here. Now, I've been driving people close to me crazy because I'm like, is it too late to call and cancel? And they were like, no. And I was like, I don't know why I said yes. And they were like, yeah, you do. You said yes because you have to. You have to give back to this program. And they're right, you know. So I'm here. Now, I had to learn how to trust with every fiber in my being that somehow this was going to be the best thing for me, even if I didn't know what that somehow was. Now, the prayer definitely helped, and I had finally learned that God is always working with me. I'm just not always working with God, but for this step, we definitely had to work together. So with my sponsor, we sat down and we examined each and every defect, character defect. Now, I knew what I was doing wasn't right. I knew I shouldn't be using drugs. I knew I shouldn't be spending money I didn't have. I knew I should be taking my, you know, should be taking better care of my kids. I wasn't. And I also knew I was the only one who could change. And the hardest part of this step for me was that knowledge, because I love knowledge. I love learning. But this knowledge brought pain, and I don't like pain. And I wrote this down from the basic text because it's so appropriate. When the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than our fear of change, we will surely let go. And to the best of my ability, I did let go. I was entirely ready. Now, I'm always going to have character defects. I'm human. There'll always be a part of me in some way, shape, or form. But the best I can do is to practice the spiritual principles of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to progress. And it also helped to find someone who had what I wanted. I found that in my current sponsor, Ashby. It doesn't matter that she's younger than I am or has less time. She has a passion and a love for the NA Fellowship that she's willing to share with me. And I love her for that. Now that's the sixth step. Am I supposed to do tradition too? This is interesting because I thought I'd be able to talk for like 5 minutes and be done. But sixth tradition. Again, back to every step in tradition is easy. It very simply says we shouldn't endorse, finance, lend any name. What? Oh, sorry. So what? Oh, I thought we did both. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm confused enough by myself, and now I'm getting more confused. Okay. I was told I have 5 minutes, so this is good for me. I can make it quick, hopefully. About the tradition, very quickly. Years ago, I had a friend I called a tradition guru. He could take each tradition and correspond it to the same step. And the way he did it was absolutely amazing. But I didn't have the foresight to write any of that down, so I can't do it the way he did. And I haven't found anyone else who could. But he's no longer part of my life, but every time I think about a tradition, I think of him. Now, traditions, like I said, weren't the top of my list for anything that was interesting. But, you know, I was going to stick around, find 12 things, you know, learn 12 things, get out. Nobody said anything about learning 24 things before I could leave. So I stayed. But the more I stayed, the more I learned. I like to learn. That's fine. I'd have been a professional student if I could have figured out how to do it. Years ago, I heard the steps are to keep me from killing myself and the traditions are to help me keep from killing everyone else. And with the way I felt when I first came in, that made sense in a distorted way. What I took it to mean was that as much as I didn't like myself, the fellowship accepted me as the imperfect, messed up, confused addict I was, who simply needed guidance to become a better me. That was the steps. And as much as I just intensely disliked just about everybody else, because I wasn't taking responsibility for my actions, the traditions helped me look at the bigger picture, how I was affecting society at large. This tradition, like I said, it's simple. Let's go out, put up signs in 7-Eleven right beside the Budweiser and Michelob signs. That would really be good for the program. That would really get our message apart. Out there. You know, let's get a celebrity endorser. Let's get somebody who's popular. Robert Downey Jr. He's popular. He's a good actor. He's also well known for his drug use. That wouldn't help. You know, this tradition is to establish the boundaries. We can't not have any contact with anyone ever. We need that contact. We just have to have the boundaries. Our message is our identity. We have to protect it. And we have to keep in mind the spiritual principles of honesty, integrity, faith, harmony, and anonymity when we're dealing with anyone. We don't want to get into the middle of turf wars. You know, let's endorse this treatment center, but not that one. We don't need that. Do we want to finance somebody? No, we can use that money to do our own primary purpose. So that's probably over my time, which still amazes me. But I'm really, really honored to be here, and thank you so much. I was actually hoping everybody would be at lunch, but you're not, so thank you.
All right. Second speaker, I'd like to welcome Susan.
Right. New England.
Hi, my name is Susan. I'm an addict from the Bronx. I'm very excited to be here. I am what I call a very, 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 very passionate member of Narcotics Anonymous. I love this fellowship. It's saved my life. It's given me a life. Without Narcotics Anonymous, I would have nothing that I have today. I'm not talking about materialistic things. I'm talking about myself. I wouldn't have myself, and I wouldn't have the joyous life that I have today. I wouldn't have the ability to play, to have fun, and to move forward in my own spiritual journey. And without Narcotics Anonymous, I know I wouldn't be here today in Ocean City, Maryland. I wouldn't have been walking on the beach in the sun yesterday. And I wouldn't be with this wonderful, amazing human being who is my soulmate, who is my partner, who is my best friend, and who was my running partner when I used. 24 years ago, we met in a bar. It was love at first sight. And I like to say that we're still in love today. So I feel, like, so blessed. When I first got clean, I was introduced to the steps. I was told that the steps were a roadmap to my spiritual journey of recovery. I had no spirituality. I had no beliefs. My God was an emergency God. Let the cop man be there. Let the stuff be good. Let me not get busted. And I had to learn that he was more than that, because without him walking along my side all along, I would be dead. I would not be here in this beautiful fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. So I got to the sixth step by working the previous five. The first three steps helped me gain that trust and belief in that someone else has done this before me, and that if I did what they did, I could get what they had. The trust and belief that there was a higher power there who would help me get to where I was so far, who had got me here alive and healthy. The trust and belief in a sponsor. And to me, that was almost the most important part of that, my very early recovery, because the fact that I had a sponsor who was with me from when I was clean 40 days, a sponsor who, when I was clean almost a year, was going on vacation gave me the keys to her apartment and asked me to feed her animals and water her plants. I didn't have keys to my own apartment. I was homeless. I was living in a shelter. That somebody trusted me to do that all those years ago made me feel that maybe I was trustworthy. And that if she trusted me, I certainly could trust her. And at first, I didn't trust women at all. I trusted the men because I felt like if they didn't have other motives, if they weren't, you know, flirting with me, whatever, that they had my best interest at heart. The women always wanted something from me all my life, my money, my man, my drugs. But I came in here without anything. I was a shopping bag lady. I was homeless. I had gotten clean in the 8th month of my pregnancy, coming into the 9th month. 30 days before my baby was born was my clean date. In 10 days, and this is not for applause, but in 10 days, I'll be turning 21, and in 41 days, my daughter will be turning 21 and graduating college. And she's been she was my original running partner and my biggest critic in recovery. First, probably as much a sponsor to me as my sponsors have been in recovery, because I hope to keep the first sponsor I had for my entire lifetime. And she said she'd be my temporary sponsor, and she wound up temporarily sponsoring me for 10 and a half years. And after that, I had gotten two more sponsors, and I'm happy to say that I'm with my current sponsor now for about 7 or 8 years, and I've gone through the steps a couple of times, because the steps are a lifelong process. Unfortunately, my entirely ready might be different than your entirely ready. And being entirely ready can take a lifetime, because what I'm ready to do today, I'm digging my heels in tomorrow and not ready to give up. The character defects of, and I did a lot of homework, because I'm a compulsive overplanner, overpacker, and I read this. When I first got clean, there was only a basic text. There was not a step working guide. It works how and why. So the first time I did the steps was from the basic text, and going forward, I moved with the other books. So I read everything. Because I said, well, what do I have to give about the 6-step and 6 tradition that people haven't heard before? There's nothing I have to give you guys haven't heard before. It's a repetitive program. We learn a day at a time. I don't hear everything I learn the first time. I am hard-headed. I will not learn. You can tell me your name, and in 3 seconds, I forgot it. The second time, I might remember it. So I need repetitive. So when I found out about entirely ready and the defects, I said, well, what is a defect? So in the basic text, it says, actually, I think I might have gotten this out of the It Works How and Why. Defects are basic human traits that have been distorted out of proportion by our self-centeredness, which is what? The core of our disease. I related to self-centeredness. I still relate to self-centeredness. I am working on that a day at a time. We don't get perfect in Narcotics Anonymous. Clean time does not mean we walk on water. Clean time means we need each other more, because I need you to tell me where I'm falling short, because I think I got this. I don't have this. I'm an arm's length away from picking up. See, to me, it's always going to be about not using, about not picking up that first drug. Because as soon as I've heard people in the rooms in the past share, it's not about the drugs anymore, it's about living life. To me, that's a big red flag, and I've seen some of those people leave. Not all of them have made it back. So I have to stick to my basics, so I don't have to ever go back to them. So for me, it's about worrying about not using that first drug. So becoming entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character, I didn't want to let go of them because the defects of character were my survival skills. And I thought I still needed them. And I thought to become honest meant I had to be brutally honest. And I can recall in early recovery that I said something to a woman that I thought I was helping her, and she took tremendous offense to it. And I thought, what is wrong with her? I was just being honest. And I found out that there's a way, and that I found out that my first thought was inevitably the wrong one, and for me it was the pause between the thought and the action which was important. So I had to learn how sometimes you shouldn't speak, and if you do, you have to tone it down. There's someone sitting in this room today who several years ago I was talking to about a difficult person in my life and a very painful situation that I was going through, and they turned to me and they said, well, you know, you can be difficult too. And I thought, doesn't he know who I am? And like, what is he talking about? I'm in recovery. I'm not difficult anymore. My husband says I'm the most confrontational person he knows. And it took me a long time to get in touch with the fact that I play a part in every situation in my life. And people who say things to me like, I'm difficult, they're not saying that to hurt my feelings. They're saying that to pull my coat, because that's what we do in Narcotics Anonymous. We save each other's lives, and we save each other's lives on a daily basis, and I'm very passionate about that. And I heard Debbie say a couple of things that I so related to, and she said something that I relate to my favorite slogan, and my favorite slogan is, to this day, chase your recovery as hard as you chase those drugs. And I know how hard I chase those drugs. 24/7, streets of New York, 8 months pregnant, begging, panhandling, robbing, stealing, in the gutters, homeless. If I can equate that and do work a quarter that hard on my recovery a day at a time, I'm going to be okay. I even read the Just for Today. I went in the back of the Just for Today, and I looked in the index, and I looked up everything that had to do with defects. And here's something it says. Some of us feel that our shortcomings are the very characteristics that saved our lives when we used. If this is true, then it is little wonder that we sometimes cling to them like dear old friends. I clinged to a lot of my character defects. And I found that the difference between a character defect and a shortcoming is the shortcoming is when we act out on them. So we can still have those defects, but if we're aware of them and try not to act out on them, then we're moving in the right direction. I was thinking about the difference between being like self-righteous and being self-confident. And I was reading that also today. And self-righteousness is when we think that everyone has to abide by our standards, by our ethics, by our values. Because, of course, I'm always right. But self-confidence in my own values and my own ethics means, you know what, who has to live by them? I have to live by them. And you know what else? I shouldn't judge anyone else who doesn't live by them. But what I can do is learn from other people what I want to be like and what I don't want to be like. And that's important for me. When the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than our fear of change, we will surely let go. The humility to recognize that we cannot control our defects. And Debbie also said that. For me, I know today I am not entirely ready. Because if I was entirely ready, I would have passed on already. It's a lifelong process. We work towards where we want to be. We take two steps forward as often as we can, and there are days when I take three steps back. But the steps are in order for a reason. The fourth step showed me my patterns. The fourth step, working with my sponsor, gave me someone who I could trust, who when situations happen, like my current sponsor, I have had, my daughter is my age, I guess, as we say in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, you're as old as you were from your first, when you used to pick up your first drug, and then you have to start gaining maturity in your recovery. Sometimes she's more mature than I am. And sometimes I think I know what she should be doing. And guess what? It's her life and she's an adult. And I have to let her make her own mistakes. She has given me a lot of great feedback. She's given me the hardest feedback that I could swallow has come from my daughter. Because sometimes it's said not in the kindest way. And there's been times when we've knocked heads quite often. And several years ago, my sponsor said to me, Susan, why don't you treat her like you would a newcomer? And then you will be more understanding of how she is and more accepting of her of what she does. And like that's something I had to learn. And that was a process for me. And I do better at it some days and I do worse at it others. Let's see. You know what? It takes commitment and perseverance. It takes working the steps over and over again and moving forward. It takes allowing yourself to listen to other people, especially the people that you most don't like, because I found out, which is difficult for me in my recovery, I found out that the people I most don't like are the ones that most like me. I don't like that at all. But you know what? It's not about liking it. It's about wanting to move forward, wanting to be on this spiritual journey, wanting to stick and stay in recovery, wanting to get better a day at a time, and to enjoy the benefits and the wonderful, joyous life that I can have by being in Narcotics Anonymous. And with that, I think I'll go on to the Tradition 6. Okay, so an NA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And, of course, our primary purpose is carrying the message to the addict who still suffers. And the basic text says when we waver from our primary purpose, addicts who might have found recovery die. I take this very seriously. If I'm telling my story, and if I went to a detox, or if I went to a treatment facility, or if I went to an outpatient program, I may share that. I'm not telling you guys the name. That means perhaps I'm endorsing it, and someone might think that that's where they need to go to get better, and maybe that place is not as good, will not do for them what it did for me, or has the reputation has gone down since the time that I went through it, or maybe they had a scandal. We don't affiliate, we cooperate. We have our meetings in church basements, in treatment centers, in different facilities around the country, in clubhouses. An NA clubhouse has been called an NA clubhouse when really it's owned by some property management company, and we are just providing a service that we're renting a room from them. So it's not an NA clubhouse. It's a place where we go and we have meetings. We have my home group is in a church, and if we made a decision, that church hadn't raised our rent in like 10 years, and as a group we made a decision that it was fair because of inflation to increase our rent because it was the right thing to do. Not because we wanted to support the church. Not because we wanted to, you know, endorse the church, but because we didn't want to lose the meeting space and have them think that we were not appreciative of them letting us use the meeting. People from a facility cannot say, could not advertise the, or should not advertise the facility by saying, we sponsor NA, we have Narcotics Anonymous meetings, this is the message of NA. We're the only ones who can give the message of Narcotics Anonymous because we have the gift of desperation. I've lived a life where I felt I went to hell, and Narcotics Anonymous opened up the gates of hell to let me out. And I can share how this wonderful fellowship has saved my life. Someone who's not gone through this cannot. And if I work in a facility, which I've done in the past, it's not for me to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous as if that's what the facility is saying. I can tell people about 12-step meetings. I can tell people about recovery. I can suggest they go to meetings. But it's not for me to carry the message. We don't endorse. We just show them by how we live that Narcotics Anonymous has saved lives. When I speak at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I use NA lingo. I go to one fellowship, I have one disease, I have one sponsor. That's for me. There are people who make more than one fellowship. I'm not going to give you an opinion on that. I'm going to tell you what I do. But when people who make more than one fellowship come into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and use lingo from another fellowship, it's implying that we're endorsing and that we're affiliated with that other fellowship. We are autonomous. We are Narcotics Anonymous. We're not other anonymouses. We are based on a wonderful fellowship that without that fellowship, we would not exist. I am grateful for that. I am forever grateful for the person who started that fellowship. I am forever grateful to the person who started our, for all the hard work of the people who started our fellowship, who got the fellowship started on the East Coast, who brought this way of life because I knew nothing about recovery. When I got clean, there was nowhere you could go to find out about Narcotics Anonymous. Only word of mouth. If someone else had gotten clean, they could tell me about it. I'd heard about detoxes. And all I knew about detox was people who went there, they were missing on their check date, because I knew your check dates. And when they got out, they had gained a few pounds, they had two checks. And that's all I knew about recovery. I didn't know about this wonderful fellowship. I knew about the other fellowship, but I just knew I didn't belong there. If I had come in here and heard people using the lingo from another fellowship, it would have been very confusing to me. I don't speak in another fellowship. I speak in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a grateful member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. I try not to preach to other people who need this program. I tell them about it, and I tell them it's available, and I tell them not what they need to do, but I can tell you what I did and what's helped me. We cooperate. We don't affiliate. What else did I want to say about this? We don't use literature from another fellowship. I've seen that when I first got clean. We don't make announcements about events from another fellowship. It would imply endorsements. We don't endorse. If we endorse an organization from right here from It Works, How and Why, that later runs into trouble, our reputation will be damaged along with them. And if we talk about an enterprise that some find obnoxious or some felt failed for them or some have an issue with, then that would make addicts who may have wanted or needed Narcotics Anonymous not come here because they don't feel safe, they don't feel it's for them, and they could die. It's about life or death for me. It's about boundaries. When NA's identity becomes too closely tied to the identity of another organization, the clarity of the primary purpose is muddled, losing some of its power. Yes, the steps are for us so that we can help ourselves continue to get cleaner day at a time, and the traditions are so we can get along with each other and so that our groups can run in a spiritual manner. We need the traditions to do business meetings. We need the traditions so we don't kill each other. We need the tradition so that our egos don't make us think that we're better than someone else or we know better than someone else. I've fallen into all these traps over the years I'm here, but someone always brings it to my awareness. Not that I like it, but I need it. Tradition 6 includes humility, integrity, faith, harmony, and anonymity. Without our anonymity, where would we be? We don't endorse anyone but Narcotics Anonymous. I stay here because it saves my life. I stay here because it gives me a life. I stay here because it makes my life full and joyous. I'm passionate about my recovery. If I don't continue to do what I need to do, I won't be able to stay here, and my quality of life certainly won't be what it is. I make meetings regularly. I sit in the front. I talk about what I'm going through. I reach out to newcomers. I call my sponsor. I work my steps, and I fall short every day. It's not about being perfect. It's about just taking a step forward. And thank you for letting me share.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
I was just sliding her a note, too.